Welcome to the patron Q&A for the month of July 2024. I am Josh, Action Scripter. I am joined by Kavi, Blake, and by Harry.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay, so we just had a stream. We showed the mission configurator a little bit. I got blown up a bunch. And we held off on showing anything about upcoming features because we show you guys first. I know we showed a couple of things here and there. Let me try to pull up some material. If you guys have any you want me to show as well, drop it in the team channel.
I'll drop you in the team channel.
So how this works is we take requests to speak on Discord. We answer them in the order that they arrive, and you can say or ask whatever you want within reason. And we do that for an hour. I think most everyone knows the drill by now.
It's always good to remind them, though.
Yeah.
If you're new, welcome.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, let me pull up a couple of things that I want to show. Do we have a latest working infantry, like, in motion video, or no? I can't remember.
Since the last big change we did, I think the some of the functionality that was there was lost. You had a pretty nice video that's probably almost, I mean, bits of it are definitely showable. There was just some strange crap at the end that I think was a little bit misleading, maybe.
I'm trying to remember the video.
It was a longish video. But,
I could probably play a portion.
Yeah. Our recent changes unhooked a lot of the animation stuff, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, and also I don't have a video recorded with the newest animations at all.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll see if I can find something. We've shown the trenches, right, already?
I think so.
Yeah, those were meant to go out, actually, in the last update, but we discovered that they don't like the new mission setup. There's some bugs. First, vehicles and trenches were falling through the ground, and then once that was fixed, the mission setup would, like, break somehow while it was loading. Like, everything would spawn with no ammo in the breach, and there were a bunch of other small bugs around that. Really bizarre, and we didn't have time to fix it because it had already taken so long to get the thing ready, so that's been pushed
off. It's just
off.
An ongoing thing that, like, that kind of stuff happens all the time because we're changing, like, three systems at once at any given time.
Yeah.
It'll be like, okay, we got this thing working, and then it's like, oh, new changes from, like multiplayer keeps getting derailed because, like, something changed here or something changed there outside of the multiplayer branch. It's kind of, it's hard, but we make it work.
Yeah. Like, we've played together in the past, but multiplayer needs to be a lot more sturdy before we can let anybody else play. Let's see, where did I save this thing? Maybe I didn't.
So we're gonna find it.
Yeah, I know I posted it in the channel somewhere, the dev channel. Anyway, let's get some questions before we take any more time digging for files. Savage Tactical, how's it going?
Pretty good. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yep.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. So, talk about infantry. I'm just going to kind of ask the question here. You guys have obviously been working on it for a while now. What's been the hardest part of bringing to the game that hasn't allowed you to implement it so far into the release version?
There's a lot of hard parts. I mean, there's, like, animation control, logic of where they move and how they move, integrating them with the existing systems, like getting their physics to interact properly so they don't make the vehicles flip out and stuff like that. I mean, there's just tons of stuff. I feel like every part of it is difficult in its own way. So yeah.
Right.
Kavi and Harry, I think you guys have been more involved with infantry lately than I have. Do you have any thoughts on what's been challenging?
The hardest thing is the fact that there's probably going to be like 50 of them at any given time in a mission, at least. That is a huge pain in the ass. If there were going to be like 10 of them, we could just do what every other, like any first person shooter does, and it would all be fine. But we have to come up with weird stuff. It's kind of the recurring problem in the development of this game in general. There's a lot of really good, solid solutions to a bunch of problems. Like we could have copied what other games did, and it would have worked really nicely. But because we have all these weird constraints on what we can do, like for example, we probably by now know about the issue of rendering terrain, and that being okay. Like you can make terrain look really good in games, but you can't make it look really good at 5 kilometer render distance. So we just have to accept having a game that doesn't look quite as good as other games that don't render as far. Similar deal. Like we could dump all of our resources into characters, but like that's the kind of thing you'd do in, again, a shooter, and their frame budget, so to speak, or their budget for performance, they can allocate a lot more of it to infantry than we can. So we've got to somehow strike this balance of make it look good, but make it so that it doesn't blow the game up just because they're there in the mission, and it's a huge pain because we probably will approach something that looks pretty nice. But like I've said last time, the nicer we make it look, the higher people's expectations get. They're like, oh, well, if you could make it look that good, why don't you just do a little bit more and make it look like my favorite, like Tarkov or whatever. And it's like, well, there's only like 20 guys in the map there. So at most, right? So that's the hardest thing is performance easily. And that's like recurring for like the entire game's development pretty much.
Yeah, I would agree on the performance route. Some of the technical debt that's just in the code base, it's built up over a number of years, multiple people touching it, has kind of put a strain on how that's had to be architected. And we've gotten around several of those issues, but now we need to say, okay, now it needs to do X, Y, or Z feature, and then kind of just keep building upon that. I don't like to do that, but it's definitely been several architectural kind of like challenges to get around. Alongside that, it's not been fun working with some of Unity's lower level systems that work great, and we've had some really awesome technical help from contractors to get some of those working. But then integrating those with some of the existing design that we've had has just been a bit of a mess. Quite the challenge. So, well, hey, it's work. I'd rather be doing this work than working in fintech, so.
True that.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I mean, I got other questions, but they're not infantry related, so I'll let someone else take the stage for now.
Cool.
Not every question has to be infantry related, but
I mean, for right now. I know you guys are wanting to, like, show us some infantry stuff here.
Sure. All right. I still haven't found the thing I wanted to show.
I might have downloaded it, actually. I'll see if I can find it.
I could show something, but it's all the bugs. And I don't think we want to show that right now.
Yeah, there's a weird catch 22 here where we had something that looked pretty good and then we did a bunch of updates to the animations and now we haven't re-recorded a pretty good thing with the new ones.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can at least find something in here.
Josh, are you looking forward to being on, well, are you looking forward to going back to what you were working on before this mission customization items fell in your lap?
Not really. Because at least the mission customizer was like a very focused goal, and I had like full leeway and full ownership on that feature, and I could just crank it out. The time pressure wasn't great. I didn't like that, but you know, doing it was fine.
Right.
The thing I was working on before was optimization of physics, which is essentially done, and I just need to fix some problems with it. But fixing problems with something isn't as cool as making a new feature.
Oh, of course. Especially wiry ones that you're like, all right, I plugged this this hole, and now I have two more holes that are popping up, or two more issues.
Yep. Also, I just discovered that you can't search a specific forum topic in Discord with search box unless I'm missing how to do it. Like, I can search in features, but I can't search in inventory.
I found a video.
Oh, you did?
There's a fair bit of jank, but it's kind of... Hang on, I'll have to upload it, because it won't go in Discord. It's too big.
Oh, okay.
While that uploads, how about we get TestMe625 in here?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Not bad.
Okay. So I know this is already technically in the game, but will we see any more field modifications to vehicles? For example, added on armor plates, like randomized kind of thing? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think we're planning on having field modifications, no.
No? Okay.
What did you have in mind?
For example, the T-55 has different like fenders to block the mud and stuff. Like, they can be cut sometimes to improve track performance. I'm talking like the Abrams having additional armor plates stuck to the front of it, because that was a thing in some places, but I'm not sure like in Fulda. But that's kind of the way I was thinking.
There's not really a context where that would make sense, especially on an Abrams. More likely, I mean, we've got, since we're in patrons, I'll just say it. We've got armor kits for the M151, and that's kind of what, like, that's the level of stuff you'd be seeing in an active war zone. You wouldn't be seeing, like, full on, like the kits that they made for the Abrams, they had to have, like, a factory dedicated to it and, like, a bunch of really highly skilled welders to do those jobs. It's not really the kind of thing that you just do in the middle of a, you know, conflict sort of thing. The other thing is that was prompted by specifically a fear of a particular opponent, and that was prepped, like, I think they did that job on several hundred Abrams in, like, a matter of months. So, I don't know, it's just sort of not... The things that make sense are, like, they call it hillbilly armor. Without any disrespect to any hillbillies in the chat, but they just get, like, if you can get sheet steel and put it on the side of things, sure, but like heavy, like actual proper, like hardened stuff, that's like, that's quite a serious operation to add that kind of thing on.
Yeah.
The
Abrams armor job that you're probably thinking of was done in, I think, the port in Saudi Arabia where they shipped all the tanks over preparing for Desert Storm stuff, and that was like a very focused operation, like Harry said. They had like actual, they had a whole like almost like a little mini production line where they had staff on hand to do that job, and they did it so clean that you can barely tell which tanks have it. It looks like it's part of the turret, and that's they didn't do any like makeshift slap a plate on kind of deal for the Abrams.
Okay, so I think, just to be easy.
Sorry. I was going to say, the Abrams does have field mods already, but they're probably not noticeable because field mods are pretty minor.
Oh, you're talking about the only skirt difference, cuts and stuff.
Yeah, they cut the skirt to get at the sprocket wheel easier, and that's, as far as we've found, it's the only thing that Cruz really did. Everything else was like, let's... I think they had, like, the M1s sometimes had a welded-on bustle rack that they'd make sort of, you know, expedient. And that's about as far as it goes from what we've found so far.
Yeah. That was after 85 as well. Like, we've looked into when they started adding bustle racks to base model M1s, and it was too late, which I was disappointed by, because I would have loved to have that as a variant, like, randomized bustle rack on the M1.
So, if that's the case, then will we see any, like, small details, like, on the M60, for example?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm. Looks like next up is Carl the Gamer.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey.
Howdy.
How are we doing today?
Not too bad.
Pretty good.
All right. So, I just had three questions. I'm going to start with this. Harry, the other day, you were talking about we were getting other MBT variants. I am aware that in work in progress, we saw the T-64A is getting some other variants. If you can't answer, what other tanks are going to be getting variants?
M60.
Oh. Could you go into detail?
Not yet. When we know that they're going to be in or not, we'll talk about that.
Okay. Any other tank aside from the M60, or is that it?
Well, what other tanks have production variants?
I don't know.
It's pretty much they pretty much only have that kind of development over a long period of time for tanks that served a long period of time. So on Abrams, you didn't really get all these little minor incremental updates.
Yeah.
I mean, the Americans didn't do it that much because, like, how do you get that into service? Like, you can't just constantly work on them. Mm-hmm. They send them there, and then they kind of have to do what they can do in Germany is going to be limited compared to what they can do in the Konus. And I think, realistically, it's only going to be like the workhorses, like your M60, T64, T72. That it makes sense that they get the upgrades because they're serving longer, right?
Okay.
T55, you would think that there'd be stuff, but by the time we get to about the 60s, mid 60s to early 70s, it's like all the upgrades that ever got done to them, unless you're talking like a full rebuild of a new tank, like a Kladivo or whatever.
Yeah.
But I like doing variants now that we've got the mission configurator, and I can't find anything else other than T-64, M60, and T-72 because, yeah, they just serve long enough to get incremental updates.
Nice. That's very nice. We're done with this. I'll move on to the next question, and either three of you could answer. What is one part of the roadmap either three of you have liked working on the most? If you have one.
Oh boy, it varies.
I got an easy answer, so I'll keep mine short and to the point. I like everything that we work on because the other jobs I've had have been garbage compared to this one. So everything works for me.
Oh. Yeah, that's nice. That's very nice.
A lot of the work that I've done so far has been, at least from the roadmap perspective, I've touched all of the major features. And they've all been very interesting problems to kind of solve with respect to how are we going to get this to work based... How are we going to get this to work and how are we going to keep it fun for people? And I think the basic campaign, the fire support systems were big adds. So I'm looking forward to working on more of them.
I've, mostly enjoyed working on tank features specifically because the entire reason I made this is because I thought it was cool that different fire control systems work different ways and wanted to portray that. So if there's any excuse to get into, oh, how do I simulate this real feature that only a tank nerd would care about, that's my favorite stuff.
Classic Josh.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell what the priority was right from the beginning when the prototype came out, and it was like free models and barren terrain, but it had a full fire control system, laser rangefinder, whatever setup. Like, it's very obvious what the priorities were from the jump.
No, the obvious priority was the voice acting.
Oh, yeah. On the way.
All right. Well, and this is the this is my last question, and I'll hand it over to someone else. I've noticed at the Google sheet, there's two vehicles for East Germany and the Russians we haven't seen yet. And I wanted to ask the current state of them: is the East German 9P133 missile carrier and its Russian counterpart, the 9P148?
Who made that sheet? Did we make that sheet?
Yeah, I made that sheet.
Okay. Carry on.
Yeah, they're in development. They're not being sped along or anything right now, but they're in development.
Okay.
There's a particularly grisly bit of fire control code that needs to be... I don't know exactly what needs to be done to it, but it's something that's non-trivial. And... basically, every month we look at the problem and say, are these missile carriers important enough to derail whatever major feature Josh is working on? And the answer's always been no so far. So they're probably going to be a while.
Okay. I would assume the same thing with the M901.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same problem. It's the reload cycle. The fact that the missiles have to be deployed and stowed and turned in different directions based on what's going on. It's not a difficult thing to solve, but it takes some work and it's going to take some refactoring of the other systems, and that we know it will take enough time that it will halt whatever other technical thing I'm supposed to be working on at the moment.
It's also the problem that causes you to be able to reload a Bradley at any traverse.
Yeah.
Or Bradley's tow launcher specifically.
We would like it so that you'd have to take the Bradley out of action for 2 minutes to reload the tows, but that's not supported yet, so probably around the time those missile carriers are ready, the Bradley will also be getting that nerf.
All right, gentlemen, thank you for having me up here. It's been nice talking with you.
Yeah, no problem.
Interesting.
Thanks for the questions.
No problem.
Okay. We don't have any other requests at the moment. Harry, did you end up uploading that clip?
Yeah, let me check. Yeah, I think it's up. It's got some TAA stuff. I'll send it to you, and you can decide which parts of it you show or whatever. But there's some... You know how skinned meshes sometimes cause ghosting on TAA? It's got a bit of that going on. Mm. But it looks cool otherwise.
I mean, it can't be that bad.
I think it's the only, like, demo of these guys that we have a recording of. The moment.
Oh, that's a big
other than
one.
Like, I think the part of the issue is when we share clips internally, it's usually like, I've recorded this bug. It's like, okay, we're not going to show that. But this one's just like normal play, from what I remember. It was just Josh like testing it.
We do have some cool effect work that we could probably show off.
Wait, who recorded this? This is a 38-minute video. I don't remember making this.
Wait, oh, hang on. That might be the wrong link.
Yeah, that's gotta be the wrong one. This.
Yeah, hang on.
That's quite a link, if so.
Yeah, that's a Bobsy video, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, no, I was gonna say that.
They would love to see that, but...
Yep, okay. Wrong one. We're not showing multiplayer right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks more like it.
We're not leaking a movie for you guys.
Unless it's Cars 2.
Uh-huh.
Or Sorcerer.
What the hell's that?
Action likes it.
Huh?
The movie Sorcerer? You've told me about it before.
I don't know what Sorcerer is.
Bullshit.
You are mixing
Why are you lying, dude?
God.
Maybe you need another bagel.
Oh, I do. More than likely. Yeah, it wasn't you. It's another person at a Harry's Discord server.
You're eating plain bagels.
It was Asiago.
What?
There was cheese on it.
Okay. this video is old enough that I don't want to show it.
Really?
I mean...
How old?
It's got, like, the previous trenches, the East German guys have laws on their backs. Like,
oh, the turd pile trenches, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the turd piles are still in the game right now.
Yeah, but we've updated all the shaders and stuff on most of them.
Oh, okay.
Most of this video is me showing bugs. You know what? We're going to have to find the still images that we have of, like, guys running in trenches and stuff.
All right. I don't know where to look for those.
I've got it. There's, I'll put a link. I'm planning on pulling some of these.
I bet, like, more than half the people in this chat are here just because they think they're going to see an infantry video.
Yes, I'll definitely show infantry.
So if we're
going to
cancel it, we should cancel it now.
I'm not going to show a video. I'm going to show the pictures that are more updated.
Yeah.
I think that's what we got to do.
Are there some images we could share related to trenches, or have we already
done
that?
Yes, there are. That's all included.
We showed some of the trenches things.
Yeah, we showed some in, like, Discord, kind of miscellaneous, whatever, but nothing's been, like, attached to a Q&A post and posted for everyone. You know what I mean? Like, this is a separate thing. You'd have to be actively monitoring the leaks channel to have seen these before. And some of them haven't been shown.
Play the newest build live here. It's funny you use that terminology. We could play the newest build live here, and it wouldn't be a problem because it's the live build.
I guess they mean the newest version of the infantry branch.
Yeah, but there's no build, so... Technically...
Newest work in progress build. That's its own branch, and it's got some stuff going on right now, so... Not happening.
Yeah.
I mean, the A posing is a cool feature, but...
Okay, I've got a bunch of screenshots that I believe are good enough, so I will...
You should... Don't post them. Don't post them yet. Hold on.
I'll post them at the end.
Don't itch them, Kavi.
No. They haven't even asked for leaks or anything yet. We've got someone waiting to ask a question. Let's do that first.
Who is it? I'm not on the tab right now. Is somebody inviting them in?
Oh, I'll get it. MiG Med Marine. Hop on in.
What does that mean?
It was the name of John Glenn's saber during his exchange tour with the Air Force in Korea.
John Glenn isn't the space guy?
Yeah, he was a Marine Corps fighter pilot in the 50s.
Have you read The Hunters?
No, but I ought to get around to it.
Yeah, I got a copy, I've not gotten around to reading. It sounds like a cool book.
Right, anyway. The thing that came to mind for me just now was having seen the SPG in the live stream. Is it intended, perhaps with the infantry being released, for any of the crew-served weapons to have more than one crew member, whether or not they do anything sort of clustered around the weapon, or are they all, like, single-man operable?
I'm not sure.
That is my favorite question.
I'm not sure about that. It's likely that they'll remain single person, but that's the kind of thing that we would look at once infantry, the main... thrust of infantry is done as a feature, we could say, okay, how do we make it more interesting? I can't guarantee that would happen.
All right, fair enough. Like, in practice, were they generally like 2-3 man teams?
Oh, yeah,
or...
that's a crew served weapon.
All right, yeah, so crew is a load bearing word there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead, Harry.
There's some stuff that to do it properly, we need to have more than one person running it, but it's going to be a matter of, like, I don't know, this is one of those questions where we'd love to say yes, but we haven't tried it, so we can't say yes, that's going to happen. because there's a, that puts us in a position where we could break a promise sort of thing, right? So we'll try it, and if it works, we'll ship it. But there's every chance that it might be too much of a pain in the ass to sort out, and then we'll do some sort of... because realistically, they probably will, even if we do multi-crewed weapons, we'll probably need some sort of fallback if one of the crewmen dies to run it as a one-man. So it's kind of a complicated question that we haven't looked at answering yet at all. So we can't give a good estimation on how possible it is to do that in our time frame.
Harry, the one that you're thinking of, I think it would technically be a vehicle, which means that it does support multiple crew, but we do have the question of what happens if you shoot the gunner and the other guy's sitting there. Like, does he bail out like a tank, or does he try to take over? We haven't answered that yet.
Yeah, making it technically a vehicle kind of works.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for that. And that's all I had in mind.
Yep.
Thank you. Custard, you had your hand up, but now there's a bunch of people with their hands up. So let's go with Custard first.
Howdy. Yeah. I kept on putting my hand down because I thought we were going to get leaks. I didn't want to interrupt things when they were in process.
No, now that we've got the leaks arranged, we're just sitting on them until later.
Yeah, okay.
You'll get them.
I feel like I've had a bunch of questions in mind, and then other people come in and ask them before me. That's why my hand went down so many times. So I'm really reaching here. Any thoughts? I mean, I personally actually don't think it adds anything, but I'm going to ask anyway. Any thoughts on crew-served weapons transported in vehicles? So M113... That's a bad example, actually. you drop off a team of some description, maybe a BMP-1, you drop off some guys with a trailer, or something that isn't an infantry squad. Yeah, to be honest, the more I talk about it, I don't actually see it happening, because that's not what gets carried in a BMP, so...
Well, they do have strollers in BMPs, but they just pop out the top and shoot. Like,
that would be cool. That would be a cool thing to ask.
Yeah, I agree. That would be... I mean, Josh might have a different opinion on this, but I feel like it's the same answer as the multi-crewed thing. Like, it's... We haven't tried, so we don't know if we can commit to it.
Yeah. Is this along the lines of if, like... Because I'm the normie here. Is this along the lines of if, like, a mortar team were to hop out the back with a gun emplacement or something and be able to go and set up?
I think that was the initial question, but then it morphed into, can we do drive-bys, basically?
Well, yeah, originally I was asking, because you were talking about SPG-9s and punkers and things like that, but I don't think they would necessarily pop out the back of a BMP, and so I kind of decided the question wasn't a very good question halfway through. Which is why it took on a new character.
You can dismount those launchers from the IFVs and stuff, but they always carry a tripod, at least in the manuals, and it's possible, but like I imagine it would take more than the amount of time that you'd be willing to commit if being shot at, I think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's any exceptions.
AGS?
I don't know what... AGS employment, I don't know what the doctrine was there, where they used them and what for. I think most of that... like, I think if we're going to do AGS... have you thought about this, Josh or Blake?
The grenade launcher stuff?
Yeah, because I think most of the time they're not... like, at least in this period, they're usually used for, like, sort of almost security stuff rather than, like, you don't see, like, Mark 19, for example, you don't see that front line. It's usually, like, guys guarding something will have it, right? Like, MPs and stuff.
To be honest, I haven't given it any thought whatsoever.
I've thought about it when it last came up in a conversation, potential features related to campaign. What extra things might kind of come in, but this is also still under the context of like what you could do and what you could be rewarded with. So realistically, if it does come up in that regard, yeah, I'm sure we could probably do something, but it's not like something we're actively touching at the moment.
Yeah, that kind of stuff's a little bit far in the future, maybe.
Yeah. it sounds like the sort of thing that is just an annoying question that people ask without actually considering the fact that it doesn't add anything to the game.
Oh, no, man. We get so many more annoying questions.
If it's an SPG or an AGS, it makes no difference to you, I think.
I mean,
the gun that you dropped off.
Yeah, there's, like, on that topic of, like, if you want to go into general, like, the sort of little shades of difference you get between, like, it's kind of like the tank variants thing, right? Like, there's barely any difference between each individual T-72, right? But it's something that you can mess around with, and it's, like, those are the things that you can use to sort of introduce elements of balance or sort of change the way the game plays just in slight amounts. So it lets you like tweak things a bit more. For example, like the T-72M1 is technically out of theater, and it's technically like the East Germans shouldn't get it in 1985. But the fact that we've got it there, it's not too much of a stretch of what's going on, and it allows mission designers to not have to solve the problem of what do I do if everything that the East Germans have just gets one-shotted by M833 or whatever. Back in the day, right? M833 isn't standard anymore, but that was a problem that it was solving at that time. And it kind of, that's where those little minor sort of like, yeah, just like little flavor units that we can sprinkle in. They do add quite a bit in terms of being able to tune scenarios a bit more. But though that kind of system of picking up and dropping off weapons is like, that's definitely a post-infantry thing, I think, that we'd look at, if we looked at it at all.
Because mechanically, there's way more to that than just deciding, does the weapon make sense, or how do we switch weapons? It's like, the fact that you could move an emplaced weapon at all requires a bunch of programming work to make it happen. And that's not a thing right now.
I think I've done my duty in filling this gap and dead air.
Thank you. Thank you for your service.
You're very welcome.
All right. We've got Test Me.
Hello again.
I'm still here.
Okay. You can leave. All right. There you go.
It's a duet. The best double team since Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg and Chronic.
As a reference.
So I have two questions. One, which kind of adds on to the other. Will we ever see like some non-skirmish engagements and stuff, like more of a sit and wait for the enemy to pop up kind of stuff? Like in campaigns, for example, because it wouldn't really work in instant action.
We've got some already. Some of the defend position missions, you have plenty of time to set up before they make the first appearance.
Okay. And the second question, will we see any like timeline progression? For example, the recent adding of the new T-72s, or the older ones rather, and the upcoming T-64 variants came a lot earlier. So will we ever see like, you start the campaign in 1974, and then increase on to the timelines like 85, like where we are now, or will that just like be something irrelevant?
I don't think it'll be anything that dramatic. There's we've messed around with some time limited stuff, but it's stuff like the M1 IP doesn't become available until 10 missions into the campaign. Like it's mild stuff. I don't know what the final version of it would look like for the revised campaign yet, because we have kicked some ideas around about it, but we want to see what actually feels reasonable in practice before we say, okay, yeah, we can confirm this is happening this way.
The other thing is, I think we don't, like part of what we sort of started this game to do is not to just do what, like, we don't want to replicate what other games have, and that, like, what you're describing is kind of just a tech tree. And it would appeal to the people who like tech trees in their games, and it would appeal to people who expect that in a tank game, but I don't think it necessarily works with the actual vision of the game, so to speak. I think it'd be more, if we did something like that, I think it'd be more along the lines of what you see in like Combat Mission, kind of thing, where it's sort of like, you know, some scenarios are set in a different year or whatever. And like Josh said, like some things are, like certain supply items are just held back for a specific number of missions. But if you think about it, like, how long is World War III going to last, realistically? Probably not, like, 4 years.
Yeah. I could see something like you're playing a campaign as the Soviets. The beginning of the campaign, you're running 3BM-22 because that's what you had in your ready stock, and they're shipping you Vant over land, but you get it in, like, a week. You know, just, like, little stuff like that. I don't think it's going to be, like, we're awaiting the release of the M1A1 and it's coming out in this many months. Like, there's no timeline for that.
Okay. And with the campaign being, like, one of the bigger features coming, will that be, like, a story-driven campaign, or will it be, like, an active action campaign like we have already? Just, like, added onto and bigger features and such?
It's, our current design is looking like it's going to be dynamic. So the a pretty flexible system based on what's going on in the previous missions and how each side's performing. There's some other systems we're developing to support that, like resource tracking and stuff, but I don't think it's going to be a story-heavy thing. I think the story is how the war is going, and anything on top of that is going to be flavor.
Okay, and final question that goes with this question. With, like, the ending of a campaign, for example, like, oh, the enemy has driven you back to your former borders, since the enemy is obviously invading and whatnot, what will happen? Like, will there be a, like, final blow mission, or, like, a, like, what? Let's see.
I don't know that yet.
No? Okay. Thank you.
Wait. When you, I'll make a general note that when you're doing game design, usually, I guess it depends on the project, but there's a thing called waterfall design, and that's where everything up front, you figure out what you're going to make, and it's all planned out, and you've got all these ideas and stuff, and then you make it, right? That sometimes works. But it kind of only works when you know, like, if say, for example, I mean, they do stuff like that on, like, Call of Duty, which is my old job. They know what they're doing. They've made the same game again and again and again for years. So they can waterfall it, right? They can plan everything up front, and they can make it because they know how to make that game. All they have to do is put different content on it, write a different story, whatever. When we don't know, like, our final product is a moving target still. We don't know exactly what's going to work because we're not making something that we've already made before, and we're not... I mean, I don't want to sound, like, pretentious by saying this, but I feel like this, the game we're trying to make hasn't really been done before. There's... We can steal some lessons from a bunch of different games, but there's always a chance that something will cause, like, a spanner in the works that'll change the whole situation. So anything that we do, we can't make accurate predictions about exactly what it's going to be like up front. So we'll kind of, like, we try something, and if it feels right, we keep going in that direction. If it's feeling wrong, we'll change it a little bit, and we sort of garden the idea and trim it into something that works. So upfront predictions are, like, we can make them, but 9 out of 10 times it's going to change by the time we actually implement it and decide, okay, the thing that we pictured in our head is either not fun, or it's not fun enough, or something else came up that's more fun, and we change it, right?
Piggyback okay. off of that, from a technical perspective, even though there are things in other games that we might like to say, oh, this game does it this well, and this game does that well, we would like to take that and maybe riff on it, that still has the cost of, okay, now we have to try and implement that. How did they implement it? It's not like a recipe book you can just go and find out. You have to mix and match, and you try different things, like Harry said, to get to the point where, okay, now I have the ability to riff a little more. I have the ability to try new things. And that takes time, okay, so, yeah.
That definitely makes sense. Thank you guys for explaining. I appreciate okay. it.
I just want to chime in. That's why we don't say ahead of time, like, oh, this is exactly what this feature is going to look like and when it's arriving, because we have our own ideas internally. We think it's going to take about this long, and we think it's going to look about like this. And those are almost never completely correct. So we try to avoid falling into the trap of like showing off our early stage stuff and showing off our ideas. Oh, guys, we're going to have this. It's going to look this way. Here's a render. I'm going to make sure that when the campaign comes out, you can do this and that. And then when we go to actually finish building it and it doesn't work, like, what do we do then? Well, now we've lied, you know? We got to make sure we avoid that situation. So we're very, very careful about when and what we say.
Yeah. I guess that's part of the early access curse, I suppose. Like, a lot of people feel burnt by early access, and they feel like promises aren't delivered on and all this kind of thing, and they never look at it again because of some bad experience they had or whatever, and we're just trying to avoid. I mean, sometimes that situation happens and there's nothing you can do about it, but where we feel like we can control the factors that can cause that, we do. Yep. It gets actually quite... It's almost painful sometimes when people are saying, oh, you should do this and this and this. And it's like, we can be looking at that and thinking, this is all stuff that we talk about doing all the time and would love to do, but we can't jump in there and say, yeah, we're definitely going to do that, because we don't actually know if it's going to work. Like, we don't know. Like, there's definitely a number of, and there's probably things going through Josh and Blake's head right now where we'll get a suggestion. It's like, man, I'd love to be able to tell you that we're going to do that, but like, it's just too early.
Yeah. And then sometimes we know we're doing it, and I still can't say we're doing it because we have the rule to protect the other situations where we don't know yet. So I can't just pick and choose and be like, oh yeah, we've already talked about that and confirmed it, and here's a picture of it being worked on. Like, everything has to be, you'll find out later. Because that gives us the room to maneuver on the ones that are less determined.
Think about the best Kickstarter, not the most successful in terms of like, oh, it's made a ton of money over budget and hit a bunch of stretch goals, blah blah blah, but the one that actually got you to put money towards it. It had a good prototype. It had a good set of assets already put together. It had a plan of attack to do the thing. And even those will take upwards of 1 to 3 years to actually get to the point of, okay, I'm finishing this up, and now it's released. And that's just, even still with a really solid prototype and a really solid plan of attack, it just takes time.
Yeah, let me give a concrete example. The roadmap is using pre-viz assets. That's pre-visualization, I think, is the full name. It's using models posed in engine, but that's not the real features that you're seeing in those images. That's all been arranged specifically for the roadmap. They're real in some sense of the word real, but they're not done in those pictures. So when you see the planes flying over and bombing in the fire support section, none of that existed. The plane models existed. Harry had done the first pass on them, and they look fine in the picture. But the code for the pilots wasn't done. The effects for the bombs, the final effects, weren't done. And then we built it. And I think it looks better in the game than it does in the roadmap in the end. But the fact was that the roadmap was just it was like a hint at what was coming. It was showing just enough that we could think, yeah, this looks about right. It'll probably look around this way. And it wasn't actually real, and now it is, because we finished it. So we only tip our hand as much as we can follow through on.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I made that image of the planes doing the strafing run, I can't remember who it was, but someone said, oh, are we actually going to be able to make the explosions look that good? And I felt pretty confident that we would be able to, but there's always a chance that we couldn't, right? Like, there was a bit of a risk involved there. But I guess... to summarize, like, that aspect of our approach or whatever, everyone has like haters, right? Like, we will have haters. We will have people who look at the game and say that it doesn't look good enough, or that it's boring, or it doesn't have enough vehicles. There'll be people who hate on the game for all kinds of reasons. But the one thing that I think all of us want to avoid is we don't want to be, we want to be, we want to maintain the good faith of the people who are following the game. We want to be developers who do what we say we're going to do. And for that reason, we say as little as possible so we don't have to do as much. But yeah, generally we don't want to go bad on promises with people, so we don't do too much upfront showing of stuff.
Yep. I know Savage Tactical has something, but just before that, someone asked in the chat, will the differences between the Soviet and NVA BMPs be represented? I know we have the up armor kit for the BMP2, but I don't see it in the prefab for some reason. Maybe that's still not in or something.
Do you mean the BMP2D?
Maybe, I don't know.
Because that's an Afghan kit.
Oh, maybe that's why, yeah.
The only difference from memory, I'd have to double check, but I think the only difference between the East German and the Russian BMP2 is the Germans put on rubber side skirts instead of floaty boys. I think that's all. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That person might need to articulate a bit more what they're talking about.
Well, I think they mentioned the DDR tools and chocks, and the Soviet stuff would have anti-radiation liners, maybe.
We do have anti-radiation liners, but I don't think they would have been installed at this time. I'm not certain on that one, but I remember being told by someone that that was the case.
Yeah, I just double-checked, and our Soviet BMP-1P does still have the NVA chocks on it. I think because I couldn't toggle them off.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's all. Like, stuff like that is, it's minor enough that we ignore it until we happen to be making another model pass for some other reason. Like, oh, let's revise the whatever, and then while I'm here, I'll separate the chocks out into another mesh so we can turn them off, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know that it's a high priority.
Presence in the Woods, that's a funny name, by the way. Just clarify, it's, I don't think that was your bad. I think I missed your second message, which had the examples in there.
Yeah. Okay. We have Savage Tactical.
I got a question about the ballistics, how you guys calculate ballistics in the game. Do you mind explaining? I know it's probably proprietary to the software, but do you mind explaining like how the game actually calculates ballistics for the rounds?
We have an API that sends out requests to a mathematician, and he works very hard.
Yes.
Very hard. We pay him pennies.
Okay, so the ballistics model in GHPC is using a quadratic drag model, which is roughly correct for ballistics, but you could always get into like nitty-gritty stuff and make it more fine-tuned. We don't do that. So it has... the thing about quadratic drag is it most closely models real projectile motion, but it's not... I forget what the term is. You can't reverse solve it back to a simple equation for the speed and position at a certain time. You have to iterate it. It's like calculus kind of deal. So we have an integration system that calculates it live, and then the ballistics are done with firing tables. So we have to pre-calculate and then look it up instead of solving it. Like if you say, how high do I have to aim to hit at 2,000 meters? You can't plug it into an equation because of the drag. It's too many factors to solve that way, so you have to look it up in the table. And then there's a bunch of other things that can tweak it, like if you're at really close range and the dart hasn't stabilized yet, it takes some of the penetration power down because of the angle. That's nutation. And then there's a... can't remember what else. There's a bunch of stuff that it takes into account, basically everything except wind. And then the energy carried by the round at a certain speed when it hits is used to alter the penetration strength using the kinetic energy formula, which as far as we can tell from comparing our results to test results in the real world, is pretty dead on. Because energy is the primary mechanism of armor defeat, especially for kinetic stuff. And then, from there we can always hand adjust if we're not getting a result that we expect. Like, there's some known stats for, like, MA33's penetration at certain distances, and I discovered that ours was slightly overperforming, and the drag curve looked correct, the speed falloff looked correct after I adjusted it, so I just tweaked the base penetration, and now it's all good. We just do little interventions like that, but for the most part, yeah, it's a projectile motion, an iterative projectile motion system with quadratic drag, and using real-world test results to tune the penetration and energy numbers.
Did you write that down?
So I do a little bit of long-range shooting and reloading, so they have, like, simple calculators for us where you just kind of plug into a ballistic coefficient, and that'll determine, like, your downrange stuff. So that sounds a hell of a lot more complicated than what I've ever dealt with. So
the one that you're using is probably similar to ones that I've used before as well. They are more sophisticated than a quadratic drag basic motion thing for bullets specifically. The reason they work better is because they have lookup tables of their own, or specialized equations, like for the shape of a boat tail rifle round.
Yeah, like G7.
It's like, how does the drag curve change as the speed changes? And we don't have that. So our drag coefficient is constant because we don't have enough information to do a sensible dynamic drag curve, and no one would really notice the difference anyway.
Yeah, but these darts are so efficient, it probably wouldn't make a difference, honestly.
It's not much. You can notice it at really long range. You'll start to see the results deviate. Like, if you find a really good view of a scope that has perfectly engineered ballistic drop markings, like accurate out to 3,000 meters or something, and then you get one of our scopes, which has the markings arranged dynamically based on the ammo performance. I'm really proud of that, by the way, that our scopes are always correct because they use the ammo performance to make the markings. Anyway, if you compare the two scopes side by side, you'll eventually notice at the highest numbers that our drop markings start to be at a different distance from each other than the real ones. Typically, I think ours are less strict or less steep of a drop off, or maybe it was more. I can't remember. Anyway, it starts to diverge.
Okay.
It starts to diverge because of that drag remaining constant. In real life, it changes based on how fast the round is going, so it's going to be a very slightly different curve at longer ranges. But for the most part, it does not affect the results.
All right, sounds good, man. That was that's a lot more than I was expecting. Thanks.
No problem. We could have used something simpler, but back when I started making this, I didn't see any reason not to double down and do a really complicated bullshit thing. So I did, and now we're living with it.
During development, I regularly go to Josh and say, I think I need to do this. I think I need to use these vectors. I think I need to. And he's like, no. Here's the formula you need. Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah.
Josh is very much the math guy on the team.
So the recent thing with grenades was fun. Where you were like,
oh, yeah,
how do I make them throw a grenade at an arbitrary target? And I was like, oh, here's the formula. Here's the solver for it. And when I wrote the commit message for it, I said something like, these guys can throw a grenade in a pickle jar from 100 meters or whatever. Like, that's only barely exaggerating.
You're misrepresenting how you sounded when you gave him that formula. You were like, actually, this is...
What happened was I did ask that question, and then you gave me a breakdown and said, do you want me to draw out some diagrams? And I'm like, oh, that'd be great, I'd appreciate it. And then I went off to do some other stuff that was, fix some other stuff that was broken with infantry. Like, later in the day, several hours later, you ping me and are like, okay, I just went and made a solver for this because I got really jazzed into the idea.
Yeah,
so Now you can just run with this, and I'm like, oh shit, this is great.
Yeah, happened was I was gonna just draw a diagram with the simple version, and I ran into a problem where you have to make a jump where it's like the math is gonna be wrong a little bit if you want the simple version. And I was like, I don't really want the math to be wrong a little bit. I want it to be right. I know there's a way to make it right. So I did a bunch more research, and I just wrote the thing.
Jumped ahead to the edge case that I was going to find myself coming back and asking you a question on, and you're just like, you know what? Nah, we can just get this done now.
Yeah, and it's a thing that's been solved before, so I had the advantage that once I had done the initial research and knew in my head this is the problem specifically that I'm trying to solve, I found a place where someone had done the derivation already and said, so here's the formula you want. And I said, yep, but let me yoink that. That's perfect.
Dig it. Classic.
Yep. Okay, we're at an hour exactly. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post these infantry things. Couple of these have been posted before, and a couple of them have not. These are going to be extremely early looks at trenches and infantry, like, in a mission. And there's a couple of issues, like, you'll see some vegetation clipping with the trenches in these screenshots, or you'll see, like, the guys are ragdoll kind of funny sometimes and whatever. Like, that's all being refined or has been refined already. But by the time you see the feature come out, it'll be much different. Unfortunately, I didn't think to take a new video or new screenshots when I was testing the latest stuff. So I don't want to show it in motion at the moment because the animations have improved since the last video I got. But we'll get there soon. Maybe by the time of the next Q&A, we'll have some actual more polished infantry stuff to show. That probably wouldn't be unreasonable.
I have a leak. I could start off with a funny leak. Are we putting this in whip teasers, or where does this go?
Patron's voice chat. Yeah, by tradition, that's where the ones go during the Q&A.
Oh, okay, here's a cool leak. Everyone's going to love this one.
Oh, God.
What do you got? Oh,
oh okay.
That is a cool leak.
Those who know, know.
I only know by having you describe it in our devs.
That's all right.
Yep, there we go. That's the and then these, a couple of these have been posted. Some of them have not. This is the most recent live mission tests material I have from infantry, and I'm sure we will capture more because now that this push for the customizer is done, there's going to be more attention on it, I think.
Every single one of them has an RPG.
Yeah, like that's one of the details that's changed. It's like we're not going to release this with every infantryman being an RPG guy, I don't think. And you can see like some terrain glitches around the trench, like the vegetation isn't cutting off early enough, and there's like a piece of grass mesh clipping into the ramp and whatever. Like that stuff has been solved too, but I didn't get any new pictures of it.
It's okay. I disclaimered it. RPG distribution subject to change.
I don't know if you can notice it in the pictures, but the guys have different faces. Isn't
they
crazy?
Do.
I'll have to talk to whoever modeled those.
I want to get a nice picture of a squad where you can see that they have different faces, but the one that I had was from, like, early on, where, like, tons of them look like the guy from Full Metal Jacket that shoots the dude. I can't remember his name, but...
Gomer Pyle, man.
Yeah, it's Gomer Pyle. Yeah, a bunch of them have Gomer Pyle syndrome, so I didn't want to show that picture because it's, like... Yep. These are your infantrymen. Are you proud? You know. Anyway,
should I continue to leak things?
If you want, it's. I mean, you are the art department guy, so I leave it up to you how much you want to show. I thought about showing some of the reload animations and stuff, but I'm not sure that's like those are using gray model, and they could be still subject to revision, I guess.
I think I shared one or two. I think I shared one with the sound on. That was kind of cool.
Oh yeah, that's right.
This is technically a leak.
Oh yeah.
Guess
yeah,
what's happening? Guess what? You're gonna get more of, and you're gonna love it.
I'm actually kind of excited for that.
Really cool to see.
Up the ship boxes, and that's not even a ship box by NVA standards.
It's a hell box.
Mm-hmm. Guys will see this and say hell box. All right.
Last question. You want to do a last question?
Aren't we already over time?
Oh yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, fuck these guys. Let's go.
Yeah. All right. I got shit to do. Fine.
All right. Well, thanks for coming, everybody. the fuck these guys was a joke. We love you very much.
No, we'll still be in chat if you've got things to ask. There's always that.
Oh yeah, we're always around. We're always around seething about like off-topic discussion in the GHPC channel or whatever. You know, you can catch us in the usual places.
The patrons' channels are chill.
Yeah, the patrons' channels are great.
Yeah,
people are
for the
good
most
there.
Part.
It's only naughty behavior in general.
Mm-hmm.
The unwashed masses.
Mm-hmm. Well, gamers, of course.
What you might expect.
Anyway, alright. I'm going to go have the rest of my weekend. I'll see you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye, all.